The Bill Shakespeare Project presents This Week in Shakespeare for the week ending Monday, March the 16th, 2015. Hola, Bartophiles, and welcome to the 42nd episode of This Week in Shakespeare, a podcast brought to you by the Bill Shakespeare Project. This is our weekly opportunity to let you know about the latest and greatest in Willie Shakespeare headlines coming at you every Tuesday. The goal here is to hit you with a quick blast, no more than 10 minutes tops, of Bard-related news. Plus, we'll try to serve up some of the historical dates for what was the past 7 days of the year. So, this week's news stories included, Hamlet Hub ran a story on the announcement by Shakespeare on the Sound of their production of All's Well That Ends Well, set for June at Pinckney Park in Rowayton, Connecticut. WVTF Public Radio ran a story on Staunton, Virginia's American Shakespeare Center's current 5-play series, including The Taming of the Shrew, which has a compressed rehearsal schedule, trying to replicate what it was like for actors in Shakespeare's day. The Statesman Journal ran a story proving that even this Congress can get some things done. The U.S. Senate passed a resolution congratulating the Oregon Shakespeare Festival of Ashland, Oregon, for the 80th anniversary of the festival's founding. Playbill covered the opening of Twelfth Night by Bedlam Theater Company at the Dorothy Streisand Theater off Broadway. The production, running through May the 2nd, has Twelfth Night in rotating repertory with itself, Twelfth Night or What You Will, and What You Will or Twelfth Night, one play, two completely different ways, with the same 5 actors. The Jackson Hole News and Guide previewed the touring Hamlet by actors of the London stage, who were bringing their 8-actor production to Jackson, Wyoming. Radio News New Zealand ran an interesting piece on plans to build a recreation of the Globe Theatre with old shipping containers, one that could be broken down and reassembled virtually anywhere. American Bazaar Online ran a story announcing that Vishal Bhardwaj's Shakespeare trilogy, including his takes on Macbeth, Othello, and Hamlet, is to be screened at the New York Indian Film Festival in May. As Shakespeare Week is about to kick off in England, The Telegraph ran a pretty cool rundown of some of the best events coming up. Broadway World ran a story on Cincinnati Shakespeare Company's Project 38 Festival. Over the course of the past school year, the company has worked with over 1,000 students at 38 schools, bringing each of the Bard's 38 plays to life. In late April, they'll be presenting the results in downtown Cincinnati. Broadway World ran a story on the upcoming Shakespeare in the Parks tour of Macbeth by Kentucky Shakespeare, hitting 18 parks in the state between the end of March and mid-May. The Guardian reviewed Romeo and Juliet at the Tobacco Factory, running through April 4th in Bristol, calling the production a thrilling work. CL Tampa Bay reviewed both Macbeth and Romeo and Juliet by Tampa Shakespeare Festival, ending their runs this weekend at the Waterworks Park in Tampa, Florida, praising the performances of Jack Holloway as the Scottish schemer and the nurse. And finally, we had a boatload of reviews of the new film with Ethan Hawke, a modern dress version of Cymbeline. Salon said the motorcycle gang setting is eccentric and awesome. The AV Club opined that the film's conclusion resonates with boundless profundity, a positive. FlavorWire wrote that it doesn't really work. Of course, some of the criticism is dubious given the description of both this play and Romeo and Juliet as romances. This one, yes. Romeo and Juliet, not so much. Philly.com called the biker setting unconvincing and downright silly. And Guardian Liberty Voice gave it a positive review, but undercut its own authority by calling the play Victorian rather than Elizabethan. Now, let's take a look back on the last 7 days and how they relate to Shakespearean history, both his and the history in his plays. On March 11th, 538, the first siege of Rome by the Ostrogothic army during the Gothic War ended. If Titus Andronicus has any historical basis, this could have been part of it. On March the 12th, 1619, actor Richard Burbage died. The main actor in Shakespeare's company, he was the man who originated such roles as Hamlet, Othello, Richard III, and King Lear. On March 14th, 1879, Albert Einstein was born. No Shakespearean connection that I know of, but they were both geniuses. On March 15th is the Ides of March, baby. The Ides were the midpoint of the month, and of course, the Ides of March kind of sort of plays a big part in Julius Caesar. And on March 16th, 1485, Anne Neville, that Lady Anne that Richard III married, died. She was the daughter of Richard Neville, 16th Earl of Warwick, also known as the Kingmaker. She married Edward, Prince of Wales, the son of Henry VI, but he was killed at the Battle of Tewkesbury. And depending on which story you believe, he was killed by either George, Duke of Clarence, or all the York boys. She would then marry Richard, Duke of Gloucester, which made her Queen of England when he became Richard III. She died some 5 months before he did at the Battle of Bosworth Field. Though she probably died of tuberculosis, rumors circulated, and were later picked up by Shakespeare, that Richard was behind her death. And that was your Week in Shakespeare. Been listening to the Bill Shakespeare Project presentation of This Week in Shakespeare for the week ending March the 16th, 2015. For our blog and previous Twiz episodes, including links to the news stories we've covered, as well as the real Bill Shakespeare Project podcast, check us out at thebillshakespeareproject.com. And we'll catch you next week.